Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of August 29th, 2021, and it's taken from Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. For the call to worship, I'd like to read Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 11 from the Good News Bible. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The story goes that a shoe salesman was sent to a remote part of the country. When he arrived, he was dismayed because everyone was barefooted. He contacted his company with the message, "No prospect for sales. People don't wear shoes here." Later, another salesman went to the same territory. He too immediately sent word to the home office, but his message was great potential. People don't wear shoes here. Everything depends upon your perspective. It's amazing how our view of things, how we see things, can impact how we respond to the situation. Is how I respond in a difficult situation really a result of my view of it? If so, what would that look like? To answer both of these questions, we are going to turn in our Bibles to the letter of Philippians to learn from the Apostle Paul. Paul and his team had planted the church in Philippi, and their relationship remained very close. These Christians were disheartened to learn that Paul had been confined to a Roman prison, seemingly putting an end to his ministry. They, like us at times, may have questioned why God didn't stop this from happening. Paul writes to assure the Philippian believers that God's plans had not been blocked. Rather, God was doing something through Paul's captivity greater than any of them had imagined. The message today is entitled, "The Power of a God-Centered Perspective." The power of a God-centered perspective. Listen to Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. From the New Living Translation. "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to see you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he's doing through me. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. When dealing with difficulties, with dealing with difficult situations, we tend to see things through the lens of self. Why is this happening to me? Why has our ministry been stifled? Questions like that. Paul wants readers of his letter to the Philippians to realize that his imprisonment is not a hindrance to God's plan. Rather, it is part of God's grand plan to reach the whole world with the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Paul wants his readers to learn to see even life's challenges through the lens of our God at work through us and around us. In his book, Basic Christian Discipline, Billy Beachman tells of a woman who complained to her pastor about her situation at work. The pastor then asked the woman, "Where do you put lights? Where do you put lights?" Those five words totally changed her perspective and her attitude. Instead of viewing herself as a victim, she became a victor and began reaching out to others in love. Where do you put lights? In the dark places. Maybe that's why God has put you there. That was the idea. Now in this text, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 26, Paul is demonstrating, first of all, a proper perspective transforms our circumstances. A proper perspective transforms our circumstances. We see this in verses 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul wanted to travel, to share the gospel, but he's locked up. The world needed his message, but his message appeared imprisoned by his chains. Paul wanted to go to Rome as a preacher. Instead, he went as a prisoner. Now, you would think that that would be reason for despair, yet notice how Paul's perspective transformed his circumstances. Rather than sulk and curse his shackles, he communicated with those God sent to him, his captors. As a result, he writes in verse 12 and 13, "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ." How do they know? Was a poster there next to the cell? I doubt it. It was because Paul told them. They may have asked, and Paul used that door to begin to explain. "Well, what is it you preach about Christ? What are you saying? the door opened wide and Paul began to preach. Now, this text uses the term the palace guard. Other texts speak more specifically, and it tells us that these are a special group of troops, probably about 6,000, that were handpicked to guard Caesar and his household. It could have been 6,000 or so of these Roman soldiers, the elite. And here, as they are moving through, spending time, sometimes literally shackled to Paul, hearing his story, sharing theirs with him, likely having Paul pray for their situation and beginning to see that the God that Paul serves is the true God. And they're beginning to tell others. Some are maybe even trading, saying, hey, I need some time with this guy. Paul would have never had an opportunity to influence this detachment at this level that's also serving and working among the top echelon of Rome. He begins to see that rather than this being God preventing him from doing what he wanted to do, this is God opening a very specific door that few had any access to. It was God that had the key to open that. Paul was confined, yet his physical captivity was providing Paul with the opportunity to communicate the good news in places where normally he had no access. We might wonder why God is not working things out like we planned them, but instead of complaining, look around at your situation, the situation he's placed you in. It's likely that place needs a light. A proper perspective does not complain about what God does not do, but trusts that God knows what he's doing, whether you can see the results or not. You trust and say, God, I know you love me. I trust you. I know you have this plan to do even more than I can imagine to reach the lost, and I trust you to work through me, whether I see the results or not. So a proper perspective on our circumstances transforms our circumstances, a God-centered perspective. Secondly, a God-centered perspective transforms relationships. We see this in verses 14 to 18. Trusting that God was working out his plan to reach the lost, Paul was able to rejoice, not in the motives of those who considered him a rival, but in the fact that Christ was being preached. In spite of their motives, their message was orthodox. They preached Christ. And rather than focus on his pain and their faulty motivation, Paul looked at the God-sized picture and rejoiced that Christ was being preached and that sinners were being saved. And it didn't matter what was being said about him. These are the things that mattered. The gospel was going out. Rather than focus on his pain and their faulty motivation, Paul looked at the God-sized picture. A God-focused perspective will allow you to view your critics' actions in a different light. It puts a positive spin on every circumstance, not an unrealistic one, but one that accounts for God's perspective, God's presence, God's promises, and God's power to work out his grand salvation plan no matter what. Philip Comfort, in the Cornerstone Biblical Commentary on Philippians, writes, Paul's life did not center on himself and his personal happiness, but on Jesus Christ and his work. We see this in chapter 1, verse 21. Thus, despite people's motives, Paul was happy that Christ was being proclaimed. Drawing attention to Christ, for whatever reason, was doing some good. Herein emerges one of the dominant themes in this epistle, namely that a servant of Christ serves Christ and his message more than him or herself. What is most important in this world is that Christ is being proclaimed. Let God be the judge of people's motives. Our duty is to proclaim Christ. Amen. What is most important in this world is that Christ is being proclaimed. Not that we defend ourselves, but Lord Jesus, that you are being proclaimed. So proper perspective, a God-centered perspective, transforms our circumstances, transforms our relationships. And thirdly, we see this in verses 19 to 26. A proper perspective, a God-centered perspective, transforms uncertainties. Paul didn't know what was coming to him next. He was in prison. He was likely imprisoned in Rome, likely waiting to appear before Caesar. He didn't know what was coming. He didn't know if that was going to be the next day or the next month. But Paul knew that God loved him and had called him. As a Christian and as an apostle, he knew that persecution because of his faith in Jesus was to be expected. For that reason, what he was experiencing did not shake his faith, nor did he want it to shake the faith of his readers. So he reminds all of us to keep a God-centered focus. In verse 19, Paul writes, "For I know that as you pray for me, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance." Paul's assurance that his problems would work out for good was not simply a matter of using positive thinking. It was Christ's strength, not his own, that empowered him and would lead to his deliverance. We see this in verse 19. That would keep him from shame, verse 20, and give him boldness to honor Christ in life or in death, verse 21. It was Christ's strength that gave him these things, not his own. Then he gives the key verse that summarizes and explains his whole perspective on life. "For me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. Physical death for a Christian is not the end. It is a doorway to eternity with Christ, so Paul did not fear it. However, notice this, for the Philippians' sake, Paul was willing to continue ministry in this life, and that included the hardships that it would bring. If that was God's plan, he was willing to minister, to help others. That's something for us to remember. Sometimes we pull out of ministry because it's getting hard or it's costing too much. Paul was weighing the things and say, if God determines it, it might not be the easiest thing for me, but I know it's best for you, so I will go through it for your sake. That's a servant heart. That's a heart that we all should have. As we've seen, a God-centered perspective transforms how we view our circumstances, our relationships, and even our uncertainties. How do I get a God-centered perspective that can withstand things like the Apostle Paul was dealing with? Yes, it involves what you believe. It involves your thinking. But it's more than just what you believe in your head. This depth of trust develops out of a growing relationship with God, because it needs to show itself in your choices, what you're willing to do and what you're willing to endure for what you believe. It has to do with your relationship with God. Pastor Tim Keller suggests three hallmarks of a growing relationship with God, along with some questions for our personal evaluation. So I'm going to close with these. We're talking about a God-centered perspective. It grows out of a relationship with our Lord. So how do you measure your relationship with God? How are you doing? Pastor Keller suggests there's three evidences of God's presence. First of all, the evidence of God's presence in my life. You could ask yourself, how real has God been this week to my heart? How clear and vivid is my assurance and certainty of God's forgiveness and fatherly love? To what degree is that real to me right now? Another question in this category is, am I having any particular seasons of sweet delight in God? Do I really sense His presence in my life? Do I really sense Him giving me His love? So first of all, the evidence of God's presence in your life. Secondly, second thing to look for is the evidence of Scripture changing me. Is Scripture changing me? Have I been finding Scripture to be alive and active? Above all else, I need to be reading it. But as I read it, am I finding it to speak to me, alive and active? Another question, am I finding certain biblical promises extremely precious and encouraging? Which ones? Which promises of God are sustaining you this week? Another question is, am I finding God's calling me or challenging me to something through His Word? And in what ways? So look for the evidence of God's presence in your life, the evidence of Scripture changing you. And thirdly, ask yourself, the evidence of a growing appreciation for God's mercy. Am I finding God's grace more glorious and moving now than I have in the past? Am I conscious of a growing sense of evil in my heart, and in response, a growing dependence on and grasp of the preciousness of God's mercy? This is evidence of a growing relationship. The more you begin to fall in love and develop a relationship with God, the deeper that comes to you, the greater you see the difference between you and the Lord, and the more you call out on Him for help in these areas that you know you need to let go of. The power of a God-centered perspective is vital, and we see this in the life of the Apostle Paul. But we know that this comes from a relationship, a growing relationship with God. It's not just a matter of, oh yeah, this is what I think. I go to church usually once a week. It's a daily, moment-by-moment relationship with God that is building this God-centered perspective. He's a part, He's a center of your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You've given us Your Holy Spirit to guide us and to speak to us through Your Word, through Your body. Lord, we want to fall deeper in love with You. We thank You that as we have a God-focused perspective, You will help us to walk with us through these difficult times, because we know that You are here, and we thank You for that. Now, You've been given every good gift for proclaiming God's presence and God's love. The world is thirsting for this good news. People struggle for words of hope and peace. As You have been blessed, now go and be a blessing in God's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you.